Hello, and welcome to another edition of Lodging on Demand. In this episode, Lodging Editor-in-Chief Dennis Nessler discusses what to expect in 2025 from an industry perspective with Eric Jacobs, Chief Global Growth Officer at Ambridge Hospitality, and Michael Blank, Principal at Woodmont Lodging. The veteran duo offer their projections on what they expect to drive growth in the year ahead, as well as how recent economic and political events continue to shape current conditions.
Hi, this is Dennis Nessler, Editor-in-Chief of Lodging Magazine. I'm here today with two industry veterans and executives that are going to talk a little bit about expectations for 2025 and the outlook for 2025. I have Eric Jacobs, Chief Global Growth Officer for Ambridge International, and Michael Blank, Principal of Woodmont Lodging. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great this morning.
Doing really well. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for being with us. Eric, I'll start with you, I guess. Before we kind of get into 25 and what you're looking at and what your expectations are, what are your thoughts in terms of 24 and how things went?
I think it's continued to be generally speaking, top line is good. But I think we all know that the overall bottom line is still not recovered to the kind of levels that folks expect. I think it's will continue to be a challenge for us. I think the expenses just have risen to a place and continue to seem to outpace the RevPAR growth, at least what we're projecting for 24-25. Overall, we're bullish on the industry for sure. Revenues are up. I think profits have been moderated since 19. I think that's the biggest challenge for our industry. It's the pressures for folks who bought assets in 18, 19, 20 or opened assets and had certain expectations and growth. They're projecting a fairly flat year next year, although expenses seem to continue to rise. So it's been a year of transition on a personal level, but I think from an industry perspective, it's been a good year. I wouldn't say it's a banner year, depending on what side of the fence you're sitting on. If you're purely a fee-based company, like an Ambridge off top line or the brands are off top line, and say it's actually a pretty good year. I think if you're talking to the owners, I think, they'd say it's been an okay year in terms of returns.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. I mean, we're almost five years out of COVID, yet it feels like every year we still need to reference COVID just because the tea leaves are so hard to predict. And, we had such a tremendous 21-22, and the last couple of years, it's a strange normal. And, we're always optimistic and bullish, but the outcomes aren't always aligned with our expectations. And, leisure was great for a while and now it's not as great. And, corporate is still mixed, but you got the group coming back. So it definitely is testing our mettle in terms of how to asset manage, how to buy, how to predict where markets, individual submarkets will be in a year, the subsequent years, just because there's still a lot of uncertainty and volatility in how each submarket seems to perform year in, year out.
Yeah, I think it's also just in talking with the owners in the third quarter, let's wait and see who became president, which direction are we going, right or left? Some of those kinds of things, what's kind of policies now that we know that Trump's in office, what kinds of things will actually get, either generate growth or slow down growth. And, there's some mixed bag in some of the rhetoric that's being talked about. But I think those are challenges for us. Again, overall, I'd say folks said it was a good year, just not a great year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Michael, anything to add in terms of the election results and the overall economy? Do you see things kind of stabilizing a little bit?
I do. I mean, ambiguity is never our friend. And so, just having some finality in the election, understanding directionally where things might look next year goes a long way. A lot of people paused and wanted to see where the election would be, but there are things that will demonstrate that we know are going to happen, in the coming years that we weren't sure of 2 months ago. And that certainty goes a long way, both for the consumer and, for the investor.
Yeah. Eric, you deal with a lot of things on the international side of things. I think the inbound tourism is picking up year in and year out, kind of getting closer to pre-COVID levels. But what are you seeing internationally, in terms of demand?
Yeah, I mean, it's still plus or minus down 10% over the peak of 19, but let's remember, it's not a, it's a piece of our business. It's not the ultimate driver. Certainly since 9/11 and the changes in the visa policies and things to allow freedom of people to just travel here, we've made it a little tougher for people to visit the United States. And I know it's something that whether it's the AHLA or the senior executives and any of the brand companies that have come to, to the table with the last couple of administrations to try to push for, obviously safe travel into this inbound. I remember seeing a stat in 17, 18 that, more Chinese travelers were traveling to Paris than traveling to the United States. So one city versus. So I think it still continues to be an opportunity for our country to find ways to boost international travel. They bring a lot of money. And then, so from, when we're still haven't seen the full recovery of the outbound of Asia broadly, I think there's what we have seen inbound growth in the Japanese traveler and things like that in the States. But we've also seen almost an influx. I think, if you talk to friends and family and folks in the industry, 22 or really 23, maybe 24, a lot of people traveled outside the United States. So there's a lot of outbound business that we saw almost like this, where leisure demand dropped in North America, it picked up in other parts of the world. So I think those, depends on are you looking at globally or looking at just nationally? You'll get maybe a little bit different commentary.
Michael, you mentioned leisure travel before. Curious if the shift that we've heard a lot about in terms of leisure and I think some of the shoulder nights, traditionally Thursdays and Sundays, becoming a little more popular. What are you seeing in terms of travel patterns?
Yeah, so our portfolio is a mix of almost predominantly leisure destinations and more corporate. In those corporate destinations, we are seeing the group business kind of bleed on the ends, right? So your core business meetings Tuesday to Thursday, but you will see the stragglers stay either, stay on the back end or come in early. Conversely, on the leisure side, we did see people, work remotely earlier on in the pandemic. That has become much less the case at our pure leisure destinations. And so, we're fighting harder for the, to for that leisure consumer, but also trying to convince that business consumer, look, come on Thursday, right? Work from the hotel and then enjoy what our hotel has to offer or the town has to offer on the weekend. So we, from a group perspective, we're seeing that bleed, but from a corporate, less so.
I think as more and more people are pushed back into the office, I know at our company alone, I started in June, Craig started in March. By August, we kind of put the foot down, maybe in some ways, some folks might say, but we asked people back to the office, and which so even us in Texas that had kind of allowed a remote worker. We got people back in the office by mid-August, as soon as school started again. And so I think we'll continue to see that trend. I think people are finding the value of being in office. I think a little bit of the isolation and things like that are wearing off for folks who just live and work and all they do is work and live in the same place. And I think there is a need for some bifurcation in that, but they're also finding ways, after a couple of years, like, how do I grow? Well, gee whiz, I don't know the executive yet, things like that. So I got to get back to the office. I think those are trends we'll continue to see, which I think will. I think I saw a stat earlier this week that 60% of the workforce is trying to get together and meet with people and get back to the face-to-face and not relying solely on Teams meetings and things like that. But a lot more work gets done when we're sitting at the table together.
Yeah, no question. Michael, from a transaction standpoint, we know that it's been really difficult to get deals done. You guys I know, look at M&A activity and acquiring properties. What are you seeing out there in terms of I guess the bid ask and do you see things kind of picking up transaction wise in 2025?
I do. I mean, you're right. The past couple of years have been a challenge for everybody. And I think there's kind of a three or four things that are really driving that. One is A, debt costs are coming down. While marginally, it just directionally provides people confidence or comfort that there is the at least the opportunity to refinance. They could buy at a higher cost today, but know that maybe 12 months, 18 months from now, there's a lower cost of debt. Two, it's cheaper to buy than build. And so you have a lot of people that are saying, well, if it's, 200 a key to build, and I can buy an existing hotel with 150 a key and know the cash flow and even, have to put in CapEx, I'm gonna do that. And the banks are more willing to lend on that. So, and three, there's just so much money on the sidelines that, as we talked about earlier for the election and stuff, they just wanted to see where, directionally what happened with the government. And now they're really more comfortable and confident to deploy that capital. So, and I think the last thing is actually is that, look, we've known about these looming debt maturities, these needs for CapEx, PIPs, and stuff. There's always been the kick the can down the road mentality. I think a lot of that still will remain, but, the culmination of the other factors will get more people doing deals next year. The spread will still be wider than sometimes people like, but, I watch transactions happen all the time, help me get smarter. And people are paying the price that are being asked, and I think people's confidence in the economy and the outlook will propel more transactions to be done next year.
Yeah, I saw, I think that things will improve as well. One of the interesting things that I picked up in one of the kind of overviews of the year from JLL was that 1,100 new hotel owners have entered our space who had never owned a hotel. So I thought that was kind of an interesting stat, particularly at a time when pricing is what it is, debt is what it is. Of course, as Michael said, there's a lot of equity sitting on the sidelines ready to go. There's still a big, I still think, and what I hear from owners, there's still a big gap between the bid and the ask. And while interest rates will help with that, I think the fact that people have been putting off PIPs, maybe, certainly the 3 or 4 years, maybe stretching out 6 or 7 because they were due in 2018 or 19. They got some relief from the brand, and then the pandemic hit, and now they're getting pretty long in the tooth. And the more properties I'm out and stay, the more I start to see the, it's not, so much the product is completely worn, but it's starting to look dated. And I think that, I guess the only good part is there isn't a whole lot of new unit growth, so you can, kind of maintain your share, but at some point that's going to start to shift. But there's a massive need of reinvestment that needs to occur in our industry, because everybody's been really sitting on their hands for the last 5 years.
Yeah, no question. Just about to wrap up, I just wanted to get kind of final thoughts from you guys, maybe a minute or less. What would a perfect world be for 2025 for Woodmont Lodging, Mike? What would you say? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, for us, like we're always in growth mode. And so finding opportunities, both whether it's development or acquisition, for us is, what we hope and expect to do next year. We're really positive on the outlook. Having the visibility in the economy and the government and stuff goes a long way for us and our investors. And, we're looking forward to, where the industry goes next year.
Excellent. Eric?
Maybe at Ambridge, this has been a year. The first word that came to mind is transition. A completely new leadership team all in place, really finally by August 1st. So reassembling a leadership team, resetting the expectations, building accountability programs within the company, staying focused on our partners and building and rebuilding, in some cases, relationships that might have been broken. And then stay focused on the growth opportunity for the company internationally. Being probably the world's largest international operator, having the doors are open to us. The brands are And we're seeing this even here in this, well, we've seen it in the States, but internationally, they've been slow to move to a franchise model. I attended two conferences, one in the Middle East, one in Singapore this year, this fall. And it was amazing to me that the general session was talking about, the value proposition of a franchise versus a brand managed, or how to hire a third party manager. I felt like I was back into the mid 90s here in the States. So huge opportunity as the brands push further away from wanting to manage everything. I think they'll stay focused on the higher end and luxury products, but I think you're going to see a continued movement internationally towards franchising, which is a huge opportunity for a company like us, who's already operating internationally. So we'll stay focused on that and continue to try to grow this company and stabilize it through the, through the remainder of this year and into next year with the new leadership in place.
Great. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and have a great holiday season.
Hey, thank you. Have a happy
Good to
holiday.
see you both. Take care, Michael.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you would like more content like this, please subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow at Lodging Magazine on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Or visit us at lodgingmagazine.com.